Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Bo. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Parsha Bo. Neiman Novetzky is a member of the Pardes faculty. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Neiman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. In the past couple of weeks, we've been reading in our Parshiot the stories of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha focus mainly on the Makot, on the plagues that God sent in order to punish the Egyptians. As we read the stories of those plagues, there's one aspect that seems to sort of act as a refrain, coming up again and again in each Makah. Every time that God gives a plague to Paro, he suffers. He then asks for it to stop, or asks Moshe to pray that it stops, and says, "I'll let you go, just have it stop." As soon as it stops, though, he changes his mind. The language, though, that's used in the verse to tell us why he changed his mind is "Vayichazek Hashem et lev Paro," and God hardened Paro's heart. Again and again, for every single makah, we have this concept of the hardening of Paro's heart. And of course, this concept is a very troubling one. It bothers many on two levels. First of all, it raises the philosophical problem of free choice. How can God keep anyone from the possibility of chewing tshuva, from the possibility of making his own decisions? If God says that he's hardening Paro's heart, it sounds like Paro had no choice in the matter. God hardened his heart for him. He made him obstinate. He made him decide not to change his mind. Second, it raises a related question of justice. How can God punish Paro for his actions if he had no choice in the matter? As Ibn Ezra says, if Hashem hardened Paro's heart, what then was his sin? In the next 15 to 25 minutes or so, we're going to go and look at a whole bunch of different sources that explore this question. We're going to start with the Rambam, with Maimonides. He actually questions our basic assumption and raises the possibility that actually, yes, maybe God really can take away someone's free choice. Let's look at him inside. Ve'efshar, sheyachata adam chet gadol, o chataim rabim, it's possible that a person will sin a great sin, or many sins, ad sheyitein hadin lifnei hadayan ha'emet, sheyia hapiraon mizeh hachotei chataim elu, he says, one who sins this great sin, it might be that the judge, meaning that God, decides that justice in this case for these sins that he did on purpose is shemonim mimenu hatshuva, that we keep from him the possibility of tshuva. Ve'ein menichin lo reshut lashuv, and we don't give him the possibility, the permission to actually repent. With the purpose of his having to die as a punishment for his sins. Rambam here is saying that actually there is such a case that God removes the possibility of tshuva. Every so often, someone does something so terrible, or he does so many sins, that actually justice means not allowing him to do tshuva. He deserves to die, and thus he doesn't have the possibility of tshuva. Part of his punishment is that he can no longer do tshuva. And the Rambam actually applies this specifically to our case. Lefichach katuv b'Torah, therefore it says in the Torah, v'ani achazek et lev paro, and I will harden Paro's heart. Lefi shechata me'etzmo t'chila v'hira li Yisrael hagarim b'artzo, since he did such evil in the beginning towards Bnei Yisrael who were living in his land, Shenemar hava nitchak malo, referring back to the original plan when Paro decided to enslave Bnei Israel, hoping that they would be killed. Therefore, natan hadin limnoa hatshuva mimenu. Therefore, God said that the din is, the justice is, that he should not be able to have the doing, to have the possibility of doing tshuva. Leficha chizek hakadosh baruch hu et libo. Therefore, God hardened his heart. So Rambam basically says, you're wrong. You think that there's no possibility of someone ever not being able to do tshuva? That there's no such thing as keeping from someone his free choice? He says, actually, there is. Sometimes when you do something so terrible, that is your punishment. A midrash goes in a similar direction, but veers slightly. He too, to some extent, takes the approach that actually there are some cases where free choice is taken away from us. But he explains it slightly differently and gives a little bit of background as to why that is. He too is picking up on our pasuk, ki ani hechparti et libo, because I hardened his heart. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mikan pitchon pe laminim lomar, lo haita mimenu sheyase tshuva. He says, this is an opening for those that do not believe to say that he didn't have the possibility of tshuva. And so he's basically raising our question and saying, you know what, all these psukim where we read that God hardens Paro's heart, they're all verses that can go and cause lots of controversy. All these non-believers are going to come to the conclusion that God doesn't allow people to repent. And Shmuel Rabbi says, but it's not so simple. It's not that God just takes away the possibility of repentance. There's a process here. He continues and he says, how does God act in the world? Im lelitzim hu yalitz. Quoting a verse in Mishlei, in Proverbs, he says that God acts with people according to the way they act. With jokesters, he jokes. What does that mean? Shakadosh marachu. Matrebo ba'adam pam rishona, shniya v'shlishit. God goes and warns people a first time, a second time, a third time. Ve'no chozerbo, but if the person still then doesn't repent, az v'huno elibo menetshuva, then he locks his heart from repentance. What is he saying? He's saying, when do we get to a point where God decides not to allow repentance? It's not that God wakes up one day and says, this person, he's not allowed to have the possibility of tshuva. Rather, God gives many options for tshuva. He gives the guy a first chance, a second chance, a third chance. But when the person shows that he's not taking any of the opportunities offered to him, that's when God says, sorry, no more. You had your chance. God lets us go in the direction that we choose to go. If I decide to keep on going down that evil path, at some point, God actually makes it easy for me to continue. So how does this apply to Paro? So he points this out. Af kach Paro harasha. He says, Paro too. Kevan sheshigir hakadosh baruch hu hei pamim, velo hishkiach advarav. God gave him 5 chances, and he still didn't change his mind. Then, amar lo hakadosh baruch hu, ata hekshet arpacha, you hardened your own heart. Haredi mosif lecha tumal tumatcha. Now I'm going to add impurity upon impurity. Now I'm going to harden your heart. What's the Midrash talking about? So the Midrash here has done a very careful reading of our psukim. In the text, we have 10 makot. In each one of the 10, there's some phrase that speaks of the hardening of Paro's heart. What the Midrash noted, though, is that in the first 5 makot, it says, V'hechbad Paro et libo. There's no mention of God hardening Paro's heart. A simple reading of those verses is that Paro hardened his own heart. Only in the last 5 makot does Hashem come into the terminology. Do we see that it's God who's hardening Paro's heart? So the Midrash suggests Hashem did give Paro a chance. He gave him 5 makot. After each one, he gave Paro the possibility of changing, of repenting, of deciding, now you can go. But each time, Paro himself decided he's going to be stubborn. He's going to harden his own heart. Only after those 5 chances does God say, how many chances can I give you? Now I'm going to continue and allow you to go in the path that you chose for yourself. And now it's God hardening Paro's heart. There's one more parshan who also goes in this general approach of saying, well, actually, perhaps there's certain circumstances in which God does take away free choice. And that's Rashi. He comes across, though, from a very, very different perspective. We'll read him inside. Me'achar shehershia kenegdi. Rashi says, since Paro has done evil towards me, v'galoy lefanai she'ein nachat ruach be'umot of dei avodah zarah, Latate leiv shalem lashuv. And he says, and since I know that in the idolatrous world, not everyone knows how to bichozer b'tshuva, b'lev shalem, to go and repent with a full heart. Tov v'sheid kashe libo, better for me that I should harden his heart. Lemarn harbot bo'ototai, so that I can use him as a way to show my wonders. V'takiru atem et v'rotai, and you, the Jews, will then recognize my greatness. Here Rashi seems to be suggesting that perhaps there's a difference between those in Bnei Israel and those in the other Amim. There are certain circumstances when actually God perhaps takes away the free choice of idolaters. Not of Bnei Israel, but of idolaters. And why of idolaters? Because God knows that they're not going to be repenting anyway, or at least not with a full heart. So in this case, what comes out of Rashi is perhaps two things. One, perhaps there's a distinction between free choice amongst Jews and free choice amongst idolaters. Second, he adds in another point into the equation, and that is God knows whether the person is going to repent or not. So if God knows in advance anyway that he's not going to repent, well then he can harden Paro's heart to act, have him act in a different way. With what goal? With a goal of teaching Am Yisrael. Let Bnei Israel be able to see through the hardening of Paro's heart the great wonders of God and let them believe. I think all three of these approaches are found problematic, we might say, or at least troubling to many of us. I think we all would still prefer to say that no matter what, how great your sin, no matter whether you're Jew or idolater, no matter whether you've missed your first five opportunities or not, there should never be a point where God decides to take away the possibility of tshuva, where God hardens your heart and doesn't let you act on your own in order to potentially change your way. The gates of tshuva, we believe, should never be locked. Which is probably why so many other commentators try to read these verses in a new and a different way. Rav Sadia Gaon decides to go in a different direction. He says, yes, this pasuk is troubling, but maybe the reason it's troubling is because I'm reading something wrong in it. Maybe the words, l'chazek et libo, to harden his heart, don't mean to take away free will and to make sure that he can't change and can't make decisions on his own to go and do tshuva. Perhaps these words actually mean something else. Let's see what he says. V'hashlishi, b'chizuk ha'nefesh b'eit bo sho'ah shel pega o sho'shmu'ah k'dei shelo yuvad b'hem adam. He says, there's a certain idea of a strengthening of the soul, or perhaps in our pasuk, a strengthening of the heart, that comes when some type of catastrophe happens, or some type of a horrible rumor happens, and this hardening of the heart comes so that one will not die from the catastrophe. V'hu amaro v'ani ekshe et leiv paro. And that's what it means, I will harden Paro's heart. V'chizakti et leiv paro. He says, don't read harden his heart. That means he's making him obstinate. Read harden his heart as, and he strengthened his heart. Hutzrach paro l'chizuk nafsho. Paro needed a strengthening of his heart. K'dei shelo yaved b'oto ha'pega, so that he wouldn't be destroyed. But he would be able to last, so that he could live through the rest of the makot. And he says, and we see this in the verse because it says, "Vulam bavur zo tamadaticha." Because of this, I have made you stand. So what's Rav Sadia Gaon doing? He says, "V'chizakti et leiv paro." Don't read, "I hardened Paro's heart," but rather, "V'chizakti," I strengthened his heart. According to him, the makot were so horrible and so terrible that Paro would have automatically not been able to stand up through them. God strengthens him, allows him to survive the makot. With what purpose? So that he could get to the end. For Rav Sadia Gaon, the reason he has to get to the end is because he needs to get punished through all 10 makot. God has to make sure he survives through all 10. Okay? Or one could just say that God needed him to survive through all 10 so that those wonders can happen. But either way, the point was that God's not here at all taking away free will. If anything, he's helping Paro out to make him last. Sforna does a similar rereading but with a slight twist. He says, "Hini biyotakeh chafetz b'tshuvat harishayim v'lo b'mitatam." He says, because God wants the repentance of these evil ones and not their death. Bavur harotchar kvodi v'im zeh hayta kavana sheYisrael yiru v'yiru. He says, he wanted to show Paro his glory, also so that Israel should see and fear. V'ein safek shelulei hachbadat halev haya Paro mishaleach Yisrael b'li safek lo al tzad hatshuva v'hachna'a. He says, without the hardening of Paro's heart, Paro for sure would have sent Bnei Yisrael without a doubt, but not because of repentance. Ella, atzad heyoto bilti yachol lisbol od tzarat hamakot, but rather from an inability to further suffer through the makot. Vizot lo hayta tshuvakla, and that wouldn't be repentance at all. Sforno here is saying that actually, through hardening Paro's heart, God is able to give him the possibility of true repentance. Without hardening it, he wouldn't have. What does he mean? He says, the makot were so terrible that even against his will, Paro would have come to go and let Bnei Israel go. Not because he repented, but because he couldn't suffer anymore. Hashem says, I need to harden his heart so that as to give him the chance to go and repent. Because otherwise, he'd be doing it not from the right motives. I have to make sure that he says no when he wanted to say yes, because when he really wanted to say yes, he's not really wanting to say yes. He's just saying yes under duress. So here's Forna sort of turning upside down the way we viewed our psukim. We normally say, Paro wanted to say no, you guys could go away, I changed my mind. And Hashem's telling him, no, you're going to go and tell them that they can't go. Here, Hashem is saying, Paro is going to say go, due to the terribleness of all of the different plagues. But inside, what he was trying to say to himself was, actually, I don't want you to go. And so God makes sure that he's able to say something that he really means, hoping that along the way, he'll be able to say, yes, please go, for the right reasons, not just as a result of the horribleness of all of those plagues. We have one last approach, which says that even though the psukim seem to attribute Paro's obstinacy to God, it really was Paro who hardened his own heart. If so, of course, what we need to explain is, well, why then does the pasuk say v'yachazek Hashem et lev Paro, that God hardened his heart, if what the pasuk means to say is that Paro hardened his own heart? So we'll look at two different mefarshim that take this approach and see how they play with it. Let's start with Shaddal. Shaddal says, "V'asher gam kim lefarish kedat Mendelssohn, shelo hayta baze onesh Elohi v'nes mamash." He says, one could take the approach that in the hardening of Paro's heart, there's no real punishment, there's no real miraculous intervention of God. Ela ki Paro atzmo hiksha al ibo, but Paro himself hardened his heart. Ela shekol hamasim yuchasu el hakel. He says, nonetheless, though, all of these actions of Paro are somehow attributed to God. And of course, the question is why. And he says, betzad ma ki hu hasiba harishona. He says, because he is the first reason. Meaning what? Since God is the person, not the being, because of whom all actions in the world happen. Therefore, any action that a person does can really be attributed back to God. God's the one who causes all to happen. Of course, the question then that one must ask is, but if that's the case, well then how come throughout we don't say, God did this, God did that, God did the other thing? Why specifically in our case, when man is doing something, do we attribute it to God? Why is our case the exception? Because he's saying, really, it's no different than any other time that someone does something, you can attribute that action back to God. So Shaddal explains, Hamasim hamyuchasim b'sifrei hakodesh el hakel. The actions which are attributed in the Sfarim, the Holy Sfarim, to God, him hamasim hazarim. Those are the wondrous or the foreign actions. Shezibatam bilti muvenet lanu, whose explanation is not clear to us. V'chein kan, kshi or posha paro, acharei ro'oto kama ototu muftim, hu davar zar v'tzmatmiha, alkein yuchas alahel. He says, and so too here, the stubbornness of Paro, after having seen so many signs and wonders, is a surprising thing, and that's why it's attributed to God. So Shaddai's trying to answer that question. Well, why dafka this? Why specifically this hardening of the heart is attributed to God if we're saying that really all actions can sort of be attributed to God? So he says, well, which actions in Tanakh get attributed to God? The surprising ones. The ones that we don't really understand why a person would be doing it. So he says, here too, Paro's obstinacy is very surprising. After seeing all those makot and all those wonders and signs and his nation being destroyed and his property and agriculture and animals all being destroyed, how could Paro still possibly say, no, I don't want them to go? So Shaddai says, this surprising action of Paro is what leads the Tanakh to ascribe it back to God, because it doesn't seem to be something that a normal human would do. And thus, we attribute it to God as if God was the one that hardened it. That's one answer. Abarbanel is a different answer. He too agrees that really it's Paro hardening his own heart, and yet for some reason, the Ptukim are attributing it to God. He says, Hayak shi levavo nimshach mihamakot b'mikre, kibir oto makat dam v'shesara miyad, v'lo hitmida, chashav shelo haya hamakah hahi dvar elokim, ela dvar tivi. He says, why did Paro harden his heart? What made Paro keep on changing his mind and saying, even though before I told you can go, now you can't go? He says, all of this happened because Paro would see something and understand it in a natural way. What would he see? He'd see some makah coming. But then, as soon as that makah, a few days later, ended, he said to himself, oh, this wasn't something from God. This must have been something natural. And he'd come to the conclusion that every makah and makah was actually part of the course of nature. Oh, there are a lot of frogs. Oh, but a few days later they died. Ah, that must mean that there was some funny natural phenomenon going on here. And didn't come to recognize that it was from God. So he says, "Ve'yichazek Hashem," the wording, God hardened his heart, "Ein inyano shakadosh baruch hu hikshat libo," does not mean that God literally hardened his heart and made his decisions for him, "Umina'uhu milasot mitzvot," and that he kept him from doing commandments or doing what's right, "Ela, shenatan bo'otan hamakot shemipneihem ba'alidei koshi v'kvedut." He says, what does it mean? God gave him the makot in such a way that led to the hardening of his heart. And that's why it was attributed to God. So he says, God doesn't actually miraculously harden his heart. But God does cause the hardening of Paro's heart. And how does he cause the hardening of his heart? In the way that he gave the makot. Hashem gave them in a way that allowed Paro to think of them as natural phenomenon and not supernatural ones. And the very fact that he viewed them as natural phenomenon kept on leading him to say, oh, sorry, no, you can't go. Had he recognized them as the Yad of Hashem, as the hand of God, then he might have come to a different conclusion. He might have come to the conclusion that, oh, no, I'm no match for this God. Please go. So for Abarbanel, the hardening was really Paro's, but it came about because of God, and thus it's attributed to him. So just to sum up some of the different approaches that we saw one general approach that questions our assumption and says, actually, even though you don't tend to think that God ever locks the gates of repentance, that you think that God cannot ever take away someone's free choice, that's actually not true. There are certain cases in which he does, either because you sin so greatly, or because there's a distinction between idolaters and non-idolaters, or because you've just been giving too many chances, and now it's time that we no longer give you those chances. We saw a different approach that tried to reread and re-understand the word, "Vayechazek Hashem et libo," not to mean that God hardened his heart, but that God strengthened his heart. And that the point of the strengthening was to actually make Paro be able to last through and survive the Makot. Then we saw a third approach that said that actually, even though the verse sounds like it's telling us that God hardened his heart, it was Paro himself who hardened his heart. It's just that it's been attributed to God for a variety of different possible reasons. So I hope that amongst all these different possibilities, each of you listening finds one that might appeal to you or at least gives you some food for thought. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Nima. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.